Horse Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me. That's the way to get in touch with the show. Still to come on the program here in about an hour, April Murray Fogle, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have Congressman Barry Moore from the 2nd District, soon to be most likely of the 1st District here in 5 months or so. Joining us now on the line, we haven't heard from this gentleman in quite a bit, but always a pleasure to introduce former State Senator Tripp Pittman. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Jeff. I'm doing well. You know, I've been working hard trying to keep up with these this inflation that's going on, and you know, I don't think there's ever going to be enough money now to retire.
Well, I mean, it's just the price. The grocery stores where it seems to really set in for me. When you get to that checkout line and you think you spent maybe $100-$150, it's like $300. Like, wow. But it's also probably because I have two new mouths to feed, but that's another story. Senator,
it's the main story, and yeah. As you know, the other day, of course, inflation was not going up as rapidly, even though it's compounded on what's already happened. You know, they said airline tickets and used cars and automobiles are cheaper. Well, you know, I think that's not the baskets they need to be using. They need to be using the baskets you're talking about, which is food and rent and insurance.
Yeah. Good Lord, insurance, man. If you haven't noticed that, that has gone off the charts too.
There's only two things in America that don't fall under the antitrust laws. That's baseball and insurance.
That's a good saying there. We'll talk a little national politics, and then maybe we'll hit some state stuff here in a minute. But what's your general takeaway? I mean, the Democrat National Convention is what it is. But it's almost like this to me, Senator, that they're not really running on anything, and we complain about it, but it feels like it's intentional. I mean, just run on good vibes and positive energy, and that's the ticket. And I don't know, maybe it's working a little bit.
Well, I think that people try to be optimistic. You know, they try to be look forward to the future, and I think when you don't have policies, and in fact, the policies you've used are broken. You know, like Kamala Harris's votes that she broke two ties that added $3 trillion to the national debt and added to more than half the inflation in the last couple of years. I mean, that's a real point that needs to be talked about. But I think the Republicans allow them to run on, you know, nationalism and patriotism, and, you know, it sounds like a sporting event because they're short on philosophy and short on ideas. And the reality is that you've got to gore somebody's, you know, ox when you're talking about policy now. I mean, what we've done is, you know, what's the greatest thing in the world is to be able to deficit spend and give people a lot more than they pay for. Obviously, now it's coming home to roost with the added inflation. But, yeah, I mean, the Republicans aren't leading with philosophy and, you know, idealism and policy, you know, and then this lets the Democrats say, well, you know, we can just have more placards. Hopefully they hold them upside, right on the right way. So it's USA Upward, and they also can play songs, and they can paint a narrative which isn't anything true, but it sure sounds good. It's a heck of a production, and, you know, they've got some ex-presidents that are obviously, the reason they were presidents is they're very, very good orators.
Yeah, and one of those, Barack Obama, I'm glad the Republicans don't like. I mean, I don't think anything he says is, like, resonating, but it's so... The oratory, the delivery is so good. The substance is very mediocre, but I can see where people were spellbound by Obama when he was president.
Well, and even Clinton, if you'd have stopped about 10 minutes before the end, was on a pretty good roll, you know? I mean, he's, you know, Clinton was pretty darn conservative fiscally, right? And whatever moral shortcomings he had, our current candidate or nominee, exactly, but hard to go toe to toe with him. But yeah, I think that's the reality. I even saw today where Trump is now focusing on hope, which ironically was Bill Clinton's theme. And I think that's a good thing. You know, he has to pivot. He has to understand that, you know, you do need an incentive for people to vote. You know, the people that are out there that are undecided, you know, they want to vote for somebody and not against somebody. And so I think it's time for the Republicans to try to point out the, you know, the votes that Kamala Harris had, her total lack of ability to be president. I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton was actually qualified to be president. She just was not liked, but Trump's not necessarily liked. So, yeah, it's time to pivot. We've got to run a positive campaign about what we are going to do and what was done up until the time the country got shut down. And hopefully that'll make people understand that the consequences of where we're headed with all of the Democratic policies and the cultural issues is not something that's good for ourselves and our children.
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what else, Donald Trump could do at this point. Senator, it seems to me that, like, where we really need to, like, gauge the race and really look at the polls and the messaging and all that, it won't come until after Labor Day.
Bob James said don't even start spending money until 10 days before the election. I mean, there are people that are not, you know, I was listening to you and Mac speak on Tuesday, I think, you know, and besides the big cactus and the football, then, you know, it's really easy to focus on what's really important, Mexican food and college football.
Well, I don't think Republicans need to really panic here. And you're right, like, maybe the pivot is to something more positive. But there is a contrast here that their rhetoric is very joy and whatever positive. But some of those speeches last night, particularly Tim Walz, I thought was dark and gloomy.
Well, I couldn't stay up that late. I was trying to listen to him, and, you know, they kept dragging it out. So I said I'd go to bed. I missed his. And, there is the idea to be more positive. And I'm just saying that it was easy to be mean against Hillary, right? You know, because everybody disliked her. And unfortunately, she was probably the only person that people disliked more. Some people disliked more than the former president, Trump. But now he has to be, you know, show some civility. You know, manners are more important than laws. I think that's what the Democrats are trying to show is, you know, positive, putting forward people like Oprah Winfrey that people like. And I think that, you know, that's where Trump needs to kind of try to just say, hey, you know, I'm going to be a little more kinder and gentler, which would be very, very easy for him to be a little bit more kinder and gentler so that, and I would appreciate it. I think a lot of people would just because it kind of gets old, being critical of people and calling them names, regardless of whether they deserve them or not. It's just not a way that you should handle yourself.
Joined by former state Senator Tripp Pittman here on the program. Senator, let's talk about some state issues. There's not a too terribly much going on right now. Your successor there is waging war on these the occupational licensing industry, which is just fraught with problems. But the other thing that's come up, and I think this is interesting, and I'm curious to see what you got to say about it, but you look at it, the way we fund education in Alabama and the money that comes from the state and the way it's dispersed, there's a formula in place, and they're kind of thinking about tinkering with it. We had Danny Garrett on earlier this week, and he kind of explained a little bit of it, but I think people in our part of the state, Senator, Baldwin County in particular, but, you know, some of the other suburby places around Alabama, you got to be a little concerned here because if they're going to move money around and you know how this game is played, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. And typically it seems like the haves when it comes to these kinds of endeavors are the losers.
Well, as education, you know, appropriations chairman for 8 years, or I think of 6 years. The reality is with the, you know, the equity funding, which was a settlement of a lawsuit, there's about 10 school districts that pay that are, you know, net losers. And Baldwin County is one of the biggest. Mobile's in there. So there's a redistribution of the resources through equity funding and the match. So that was a battle that we tried to fight to, you know, try to lean it out and try to figure out that you shouldn't be able to have to pay above a certain amount. But politically, you know, everybody always wants somebody else to fare. Everybody else wants somebody else to pay for it. And as you talked about the occupational licenses, everybody just wants a fair advantage and limited competition. But yeah, I think that it's really very something you have to tread on very cautiously, because the system is already unfair. And so are we going to try to correct what's unfair, or are we just going to try to make it worse than it is? And a lot of it is with children with learning disabilities. I know families that have children that they send to the public system and for the care that is required to be given, or health issues. And then their other children go to independent schools or parochial schools. So yeah, it's a can of worms. It should be looked at just like transportation, where we're always buying new buses, you know, and how often do we buy new buses, and should we relook at walking to school and other things? But
right.
Yeah, it's fraught with, but there's a lot bigger picture in terms of the equity funding and the paying systems that are paying, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in to the foundation program. And that certainly, if there is a change, that needs to be rectified with more than just the current unit's appropriation, which is kind of a true up for the system. And one of the first things that needs to be done, Jeff, is that you need the average daily membership, FTE, full-time equivalent. You know, that's how they pay. But really, they only pay for the first 30 days. And so what's important is you want to get everybody in school for football, and you want to count those numbers. And then there's no incentive for the schools to retain those students and to make sure they come to class after the first 30 days. In fact, the incentive financially is for them not to come to school, because then they have more resources to spread over fewer students and fewer requirements. So I think that the FTE is a trailing issue that needs to be more forward-loaded. You need for sure to be taking tuition at the start of the second semester in school also, so you can project where the growth is, probably put a factor in there of some, you know, historical growth in some of these districts, especially these ones that are paying in to the foundation program and are getting shorted or screwed, let's just call it what it is, with this equity funding, to be able to retain some of that money they're paying in to be able to cover the growth that's happening indigenous within their own system. So, yeah, there's plenty of room, but I can only imagine that the rural areas, you know, and that brings to another thing. You know, what we've allowed in this state is for a lot of people to avoid paying taxes locally. So we've funded the state level more as a percentage greater than any other state in the country. So we have 2/3 of the funding of our state goes to education. And I think that when people look at healthcare reform and rural healthcare, and they talk about Medicaid expansion, which is terrible, it's a broke system, we game it. But let's don't make the same mistake with healthcare. Let's go to the local communities and let's say, you know, everybody needs healthcare, even people that have a lot of land. So why don't you get them to pay more taxes? You need to, they get, you know, they pay more taxes so that they can keep the healthcare system strong in their area, which is a great economic development tool and retention tool to help. So we need to fund healthcare at the local, at the county, and the city level, and not try to take it all to the state. But of course, money gets, you know, politics is a process of dividing up other people's money. And, you know, they like all the money in the state, and they don't want to refund any of it. That was a debate last year and the year before, because they know better how to spend it on, you know, fair advantages and credits and redistribution, as opposed to letting people keep their own money, because free enterprise does work, Jeff. It's not perfect. It's not fair. But by and large, you know, just look at the lights in South Korea versus the lights in Cuba, or the lights in North Korea. I mean, look at the pre-enterprise systems that are out there in the world, and you can tell what's going on and how successful they are economically, and the economic being is growing. And look at the people in our border. I mean, they're not coming here just to go on a walk, right? They're coming here and risking everything because they know this is the best opportunity for them and for their children. And now they carry a cell phone. They can transfer their assets. They can talk to their children or their grandchildren. It's not like they got on a boat, you know, in the old continent, you know, for 2 to 3 months and never, ever heard or saw their relatives ever again. So, yeah, this is a big question. But back to the equity funding, it's a real big question. It's messed up. There's all kinds of money. You know, you've pointed out correctly that the rolling reserve, which prevented proration, has now taken away any tool for any kind of fiscal responsibility.
Right.
All of this money now has been diverted into, like, I talked to Bill Poole, who was a colleague of mine. He's now the finance director. You know, instead of being one pool of money, we've diverted another one for technology. And that was done because we didn't want to have recurring revenue, right? You didn't want to get pay raises because the economy goes up and down. Now we have other buckets of money. There's three or four budget monies that are getting spent, you know, kind of off the table that need to be calculated back in to really one budget. And a lot of times when we start special programs like reading initiatives or other things, they're really about teaching the teachers. But what we do is, opposed to allocating money that will work, we just do it on an FTE basis. We just add the amount into the mix, which is obviously being distributed unfairly for a lot of districts. And it's not enough money to actually accomplish the goal. It just adds to the money that now is at the discretion of the local school board. And I'm all for local governments. But it is if it gets done, it's a big, big picture. And I probably ought to get involved in it just from an historical perspective.
Well, real quick, and we got to get out of here. We're a little long. But I got Barrymore coming up here in about an hour and a half or so. But how do you think he's going to do representing this part of the state, coming from Enterprise, coming from the Wiregrass? Now, I know he's got split duties with either Caroline Dobson and the Shamari Figures. But what are your expectations there, real quick?
I think Barry will do fine. I mean, I think Barry is a conservative, and I have a good relationship with Barry. We were in the legislature together, and I'll be happy. I'm going to help Barry any way I can. You know, obviously he's still representing his own district, and I don't think people realize how busy it is to be in elected office and how many constituent issues you need to deal with in addition to the actual governing and policy issues. He'll do fine. You know, he's talked about getting a place down here instead of just an office. I think his constituent services have been very good. I certainly expect him to do a good job of representing this part of his district, and certainly will help him any way I can to be successful to that end.
Senator, we appreciate your time. Don't be a stranger. We'll get you on again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad you had a good trip with your was it your son or your whole family up
there? Just me and the 3-year-old. We did the loop there.
So two children, and one of them was old enough to drive. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, he's growing up so fast. State Senator Tripp, former State Senator Tripp Pittman. We'll be right back, guys. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.